Christianity is more than just being a statistic in the church. It's more than just a number. We can have a lot of numbers, a lot of people who call themselves Christian, but it's much more than that. It's more than being just a good follower. And I know good following is a good thing, that we need to actually follow the Lord, that we need to give ourselves to following the Lord and to be a good disciple. And we can't just numb down our church life into, and when I say numb it down, it's just to bring it down to a point where it's just about a good preach, a good worship time, a good quiet time in the morning that I have. We can't just numb it down to that. There must be more to this. And I really feel that that is the reason that we are, that I'm preaching this morning about this. It's actually about the presence of God. That's what it's about. It's about the presence of God, about knowing God, and about knowing the God of the presence. It's lovely to have the presence of God. It's lovely to sense and feel the presence of God in our worship, in our time of preaching. But it's knowing that God in a very special way and knowing His presence. Before Jesus called us to follow Him, He called us to the kingdom. John the Baptist led that preach and led that pathway. And he said this in Matthew 3. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. This is the way of the Lord. The kingdom is the way of the Lord. Jesus followed up when he came into ministry, and in Mark 1:15 it says this, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's ready. It's here. It's near. Repent, he says, and believe the gospel. So it seems to me that there's a repentance that goes beyond just the repentance of our sins, a repentance of our lifestyle, maybe, to move out of a kingdom and to move into a kingdom. And that would be the challenge. The message today is to really drill down to find out who's the master of your heart. Where does it fit into the kingdom? Will it most likely manifest as a divided heart? And I think that's where the area of the repentance comes into play. The heart is a very complex thing. And I don't want to go into the great detail about the complexity of our heart, but it is a lot more than just that little fleshy heart that goes boom, boom, boom on the inside of our bodies. Yes, it is there. We have a heart that is there. We also have an emotional heart. It goes up and down and goes anywhere. It swings anywhere from being totally depressed to absolutely complete and perfect and happy and joyful, that heart. And then we have a spiritual heart that is actually defined by our status. It's either dead or alive. And I want to say to you that there's no middle road in this. There's no middle road. The scripture doesn't offer us a middle road. God doesn't offer us a middle road. It is or it isn't. It is Him or it's not. And if it's not Him, then who is it? People say, well, I'm just sitting on the fence. I'm just hanging on in the middle. But it's not about being in the middle road. We cannot hang on to the fence. The fence belongs to the one who's called the enemy. The fence belongs to the one who's called on to be the enemy. And he is the enemy. I know, friends, and I say this often, and I will say it, it is a fight. Because there is an enemy. It was right from the established, from the very beginning, that there would be an enemy. God said it. He said, I will create the enmity between you, the seed of Jesus, or the seed to be Jesus, and the enemy. There will always be an enemy. There will always be an enmity between us. Some time ago, actually in 2014, I had my first funeral in Joshua Generation Church, 2014. And I buried a young lady by the name of Mignon. And the reason I'm bringing her up as a name is she had a very unusual heart condition. And the heart condition is dextrocardia. You probably don't understand that, probably never heard of it. But her heart's back to front. Her heart's turned the wrong way around. So the left of her heart was actually on the right of her heart, and the right of her heart on the left of the heart, and the front of the heart and the back of the heart, and the back of the heart's in the front of the heart. You get it. That's called a dextrocardia. And she gave a testimony one day, and she said something about her testimony stood out, and I still remember it very clearly. She said, "I can't jump. I can't jump. Because if I jump, my heart bounces up and down inside of me. Because there's nothing that my heart can attach itself to. Because our heart is attached to our back. So you can jump, that your heart doesn't go all over the place. It doesn't bounce inside of you." And I'm talking about a divided heart, a heart that can bounce. And that's really where I'm at today. So I'm bringing the story to you that you can understand. And let me say this, it is impossible for a man to have two hearts. It's not possible. There are some animals that have two hearts. For example, an octopus has three hearts. It's quite weird if you think about it. How do you control all of those hearts and get them beating in the same direction? Well, it's very different, and we don't have to go into all the detail of that. But spiritually, it is impossible to have two hearts. God said it and many times, and He'll call us to that place, to have one heart, a single heart. You alone, God. Do you remember the temptation of Jesus? That He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And in the temptation of Jesus, He was tempted to divide His heart. Simple thing over many things. And I don't want to go into those details, but remember this. He was even called to worship Him, worship the devil. So if you worship me, I'll give you everything. And that's how easily our hearts can be divided. I'll give you everything. And Satan will be there, and he's there 365. He's there every hour of the day, every moment of your day. There will always be a challenge to move you into another kingdom, to get your heart moved in that direction. And remember, 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 there's no fence. And if you call it a fence, it's just like I'm sitting here in the middle here somewhere, and I hope it doesn't work. I hope it works out okay. I'm a bit of this and a bit of that. There's no such thing as a bit of this and a bit of that. God wants us. Entirely, our whole heart needs to be His. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And He used money as one of the examples that challenge us often in terms of where we set our hearts. In terms of life, Jesus also said this in Matthew 12. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will be able to stand. And all of these scriptures come in the context of that divide, a divided heart, that you can have two choices. Friends, I want to say this to you as a congregation here this morning, that we can be divided in our midst, and our division cannot be honored by God. God will not honor our division. It cannot stand. If Satan has any form of rule within our lives, it cannot stand. We will not be able to stand. And that is why we are called to repentance. And that is what we are to repent of. A divided heart. A heart that does not belong all to God. You say, but that's really hard. It's really difficult. I understand that. But we need to wrestle this thing down to the ground. And we need to find our position and our place in the place where we have one heart. One heart. One heart for God. One heart for His Word. One heart for trusting Him. Trusting Him and trusting Him alone. Those were the temptations of Jesus. Those were the things that He was called on. And every time Jesus gave Him an answer. And the one was about the Word. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every Word can be divided quite easy simply on that. And we cannot be passive and neutral once we have repented. But sometimes we think that repentance just brings us to a clean slate, and it does. Remember this, that God responds to repentance. It's not something that God says, oh, well, well done. You know, that's okay, now move on. God deals with that. He deals with your repentance in the same way he dealt with your sin when you first came to him. We cannot be neutral. Anyone in neutral will know that you're just standing still. You can't just be in an idle place. You need to fill up the gap somehow. Repentance is not just the theory of new, but the practice of new, to make straight the paths that God has given to us. Is this helpful for you? Is this helpful for you? Is it doing something for you? I don't want to preach for nothing here this morning. It's helpful for you that you understand that there are only two kingdoms and that you're either in one or the other. You can't be in the middle. Please keep that out of your mind. You cannot be in the middle. You cannot be neutral. You cannot be have a blank slate without something to work toward or work into. Speaks about, in the scripture, it speaks about having a new wineskin. And you can't take new old wine and pour it into a new wineskin. It'll burst. And vice versa. It also works that way. I would like us to answer a question this morning, a question that Jesus asked Peter. And here's the question, and I'll give you the story in a moment. Here's the question. Do you love me? Not me. You know who I'm talking about. The question that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? In fact, he added the words, do you love me more than these? And he was pointing to the other disciples. Do you love me more than these? And Peter had to answer the question. So quickly, just to illustrate the story, I want to bring you into the story. Here's some words that Peter said before he denied the Lord Jesus. You remember the time he denied the Lord Jesus? Remember about the cock crowing? Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times, Jesus said. But let me read some of the scriptures for you. In John 13:37, it says this. Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Matthew 26:33, Peter said, though all of them may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Think of the commitment of this man as he speaks these words. In Luke 22, it says this, and this is where Jesus comes and draws close to Peter and says this to him, Satan demanded to have you. Imagine that. Satan demands, and I want to say this to you today, Satan demands to have you. Because your test of which kingdom you're in, friends, will be tested every single day because Satan demands to have you. The glorious part of this is that Jesus said, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. And you kind of think, well, Jesus, just take him out of the temptation. But he didn't. Because he wanted to test Peter to the point where Peter knew where his strength lay. I want to say this. I love Peter. I love Peter for his boldness. I love Peter for his outspokenness, like a challenging man. I will never leave you. I will never, ever leave you. They will all leave you, but I won't leave you. I'll go with you even to the death. But Jesus said to him, you will betray me. But Satan has demanded to have you. So, this is how the story unfolds. You know that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, as Jesus said he would. Denied him three times. But now comes the story of repentance. How does Peter find his way back? How do you find your way back when you have denied an opportunity, where you have missed an opportunity, when you've stepped into the place where you're in the middle, or you've stepped into the place where you're more on this side and you long for this more than this? The kingdom of God is not easy. The kingdom of God is not easy to live in. It's challenging. It's challenging. It speaks of it as something that's violent in terms of the way of the world. Do you know who owns the world? Anybody? Who owns the world? I'd like to say Jesus, he doesn't. We gave him that right. We gave the enemy that right through Adam, through Eve, when they sinned. We gave the enemy a right to own the world. And when he offered it to Jesus, it was because he was the owner. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Bow down to me. Can you see the challenge? Can you see it coming into our lives day by day, moment by moment, every single time, bringing us to the place, I'll give you everything. Only two kingdoms, friends. You're either in that kingdom or you're in that kingdom. Cannot be in the middle. So the story unfolds with Peter. Jesus is raised from the dead. Now raised from the dead. He's been with his disciples for a long time. It's the third time that he appears to him on this particular occasion. But Peter and his friends have got to the point, and I think Peter's trying to work out his salvation. He's trying to work out, how do I get back to Jesus? How do I get this thing back together again? Maybe I need to just give it up altogether. Can you see how easily his heart has become divided? How easily his heart has slipped into a place, and he says to his friends, I'm going fishing. Why? Because he was a fisherman, that's why. I'm going fishing. And what is he saying, actually? He's saying, I'm giving up on Jesus. I know I've seen Jesus. He's raised from the dead and all the rest, but I don't know how to get back. I don't know how to get him back into the place. And the simplicity of the answer will be repent. The simplicity of the answer would be repent. But how do you repent from denying Jesus? And when you see him face to face, how do you look him in the eyes? How did Peter even look him in the eyes? A couple of days ago, I denied you. Will you even accept me? I don't know, but I would imagine that Peter was going through a number of struggles in his heart and his mind. I'm going fishing, he says. And you know what happened? They caught nothing. It's actually a joke, because it's a repeat story, actually, because Jesus found them when they were still fishermen. He found them, and that's where he called them to discipleship, when they had been fishing all night, and they caught nothing. And in the same way, Jesus shouts from the beach. He was on the beach, walking on the beach that day. It was the third time that he would be meeting with his disciples since his resurrection. And while he's walking on the beach, he sees the disciples out there on the boat fishing. Have you caught anything? Not a good question if you've caught nothing. Not a good question. Do you think Jesus didn't know how much they caught? He knew. He knew. Now we've caught nothing. And Jesus said the very same thing that he said to them when he called them. Cast your nets on the other side. And they did. And suddenly their nets were full. Their nets were full. And the disciples, the other disciples that were with him on the boat, recognized that this was Jesus talking to them from the shore. Jesus was talking to them. And Peter looked at the situation and said, okay, and he jumped off the boat. I don't know if the guy could swim, if the water was shallow, whatever. Maybe he walked his way back to the shore. But he jumped off the boat. The other disciples that rowed the boat ashore with the full net of fish. There's a lot of fish in there. And then Jesus says to the disciples, bring some of the fish that you've caught. In the meantime, Peter's hanging in the background. I don't see him in the forefront there. Bring some of the fish. So Peter goes back. And the Bible says that he went and he hauled the fish net ashore. Now, I want to sketch the picture for you. I want you to see the adrenaline that was driving his heart of saying, I need to find Jesus again. How do I find Jesus again? How do I find him again? And he dragged the net ashore. And the Bible says that there were 153 large fish. So why were there 153 large fish? Anybody? Give me an idea. Why were there 153 fish? Any reason? Why would you put that in Scripture? What do we need that for? I'll tell you why there's 153 fish. Because Peter counted them. That's why there are 153 fish. And there were 153 large fish. Can you imagine in the first place how to drag this 153 large fish out of the boats single-handedly? I love Peter. I love that heart. Come on, I'll do this. But in the meantime, and you count it, how long do you think it would take him to count 153 fish? You don't just say, well, one, two, three. I mean, how many of you can stand up here and say how many people are sitting here this morning? It'll take you a while. I know there is one man who does count. He does it for this, just to keep our record straight. Hello, Michael. How are you? The little disciples. How long do you think it counted? Probably half hour? Just to count fish, I don't know if he had a very, could spot this out, you know, there's about 45, maybe 38, okay, give it a number. Maybe he could spot them, but I think he actually took them out one by one. One, two, three, four, five, 15 rows of 10. One, two, three, four, five, plus three, 153 fish. Why was he doing it? And sometimes we are reluctant, and I want to say to you, stop counting fish. Stop counting fish. Face Jesus. Go back to Jesus. If your heart is not in the right place, friends, go back to Jesus. Go back to that place where you can find and know him and see him eye to eye. And then Jesus says to them, come and have breakfast with me. And then comes the question that I asked you a moment ago. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these other disciples. Remember what you said. You said you would never leave me. They will fail, but I will never fail. That's what you said, Peter. But as Jesus fought with him about that, he asked him the question, and I want to ask you the question today. Do you love Jesus more than anything? Do you love the kingdom more than anything? You say, what is the kingdom about? The kingdom sounds so foreign to the language of our day. We don't have kingdoms. I think we have a couple of them around the world, but that's not important. We have a kingdom, and we have a king. If there's a kingdom, there is a king, and the king is our God and Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and what were the words that he said? And when he taught them to pray, he said, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Glorious is your name. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's give him all the glory for who he is, because he's a king. And then he uses the words, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. How does your kingdom come? How does God's kingdom come? The next words, your will be done. Your will be done. Friends, I stand here today and I think to myself, do I every single day do God's will? I may pray the prayer. I may pray the prayer, but is my heart not divided? Are there not moments when I come in the course of my day? Are there not moments even as I prepare my messages to you about this thing? Are there not moments when my heart is not under his will? Your will be done. It's an easy distraction, friends. It's an easy distraction. But we need to come to the place where we repent of those distractions, that we stop counting fish and take the time and the moment to say, Jesus, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. That I will be part of it. I want you, as I close this morning, to imagine what Jesus' response could have been to Peter. After Peter had counted the fish and he was now standing there or sitting there at breakfast having some fish with Jesus. And Jesus looks across these disciples and he says to Peter, in front of all the other disciples, do you love me more than these? And the embarrassing moment he had to say, yes, Lord, I do. I do. I love you. But imagine what it could have been like. Jesus could have given him the silent treatment when he got off the boat. How are you guys doing? Good to see you again. Could have given him the silent treatment. Could have ignored him. Sorry. Could have used words like, really, Peter? Come on, man. Remember what you said? Remember? Seriously? You did it again? You failed so many times, you did it again? Dude, what are you up to? Or maybe you put a sentence to it. You're worthless. You're really worthless. You know, I called you 3 years, 3 years down the line. 3 years down the line, you failed me. You're a failure. And maybe that's what we feel like at times. We're failures. Unteachable. No future. I don't see any future in you. I don't think I can use you anymore. You're a lost case. But he never said any of those things. He simply said, do you love me? That's all he wanted to hear. Do you love me? There's a scripture in the book of Revelation. Did I give it to you? I didn't. I think I did. Didn't. Okay, I didn't give you the scripture. Where Jesus is dealing with his seven churches, and I don't want to take the time of trying to explain the story around the seven churches and why Jesus was speaking about them. But right at the end, he comes to these words, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And I'm knocking at the door, and maybe knocking at your doors this morning. They're saying, well, I know I'm not there, and I know I'm not there, and I've told you, you can't be in the middle. So he stands at the door and knocks. Maybe with the very question in his heart that he wanted to ask Peter, do you love me? But he says, if any man will open up the door, I will come in and I will have breakfast with him, or I'll have supper with him, or I'll have lunch with him. I'll come in and I'll eat with him. I'll be part of his life. I want to be part of his life. I want you to be part of my life. I want you to be part of my kingdom. That's what the kingdom is about. It's not just being a good disciple. So I've learned all the words. I've learned all the tricks. I've learned the way to walk it out with God. But I don't know if I love him like he wants me to love him. I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in. There is someone else knocking at the door. The same door. Join me. Come along to me. I'll give you everything you want. Everything you need. You don't have to go hunting anymore. You're part of the world already. Easy just to slip into that space. Would you bow your head, please? Do you love me? And you will know. I started off this the message this morning by saying, this could be for, let me move in the back here. This could be for one of you or all of you. Where do we stand? How would you measure it? I can't measure it. I can't measure it individually for you. Where are you? I don't even know what your heart looks like. Your heart is very complex. I trust you don't have a back-to-front heart, that you can't do your jumps, jump around, because your heart's all over the place. Or maybe your heart is just not exactly where it should be today. want to give you an opportunity. Firstly, to say, do you love him? He's knocking at your door. Do you love him? And if you can say, yes, Lord, I do. And I repent, but your kingdom is at hand. And I want you to stand with me. Just stand with me. I don't want to create pressure or situation that forces you into it. It's a choice you make. You say, but I'm following. I know I'm following. Are you tempted to make other decisions? I'm sure you might be. But if you're sure that you love him this morning, if you're sure that you're in that side where it counts, I'm in the kingdom. I've decided to follow you, Lord. You've called me and I have decided to follow. And I will follow with all my heart. So I want to be sure. Is there anyone here this morning that has never ever said, yes, Jesus, I belong to the wrong kingdom. I've heard your voice. I've heard you speak to me. Would you just raise your hand quickly where you are? Thank you, my friend. You've been around a couple of times, but I'm trusting that God will take you and bring you into that place where you find the fullness. You find the fullness of living for the kingdom. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. We're going to pray. You don't mind me calling your name, Devon? Devon has surrendered his life to the Lord. He's been a couple of times in our meetings. But I'm trusting that God will take you to the next level, my friend. And I know it's going to cost you some things because there are challenges in your life. There's a war that goes on in your life probably every week that has been going on every week. But today you decided, I will follow Jesus. So as we know who it is, reach out to this young man. Find an opportunity to give him a call. Find an opportunity to walk with him and to help him through the situation where he is. We don't have to be afraid of putting up our hand for Jesus. If we're in the kingdom, then we want another one. So come along, let's bring him in. Bring him in for the Lord. Yeah, the guys, you can just pray around with him while we are busy up here. Heavenly Father, this morning I thank you that you're with us. And today, even if you find among us those that our hearts are not there, that you would take opportunity with us, God, that every one of our hearts will be tested. Will be tested before the cock crows. That it will be tested. And that we will not deny you. But that we will say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will be with you. I will do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. And I'll walk with you, Lord. And I will honor you because I love the presence of my God. I love the presence of my God. And I desire his presence every day and every moment. Thank you, Father, for Devon this morning, who surrendered his life. I pray that you will be with him in a special way, that he'll find answers to the questions of his heart, that he'll find answers, my God, that he's been looking for a long time, that you'll give him the courage to be strong in you and to walk with you, God, and to know you. for you are life. And in you, Lord, there is no darkness. Thank you, Father, for your love toward us, that you have come running after us this morning. I thank you for that. Amen. Amen. All right. Do you want to sing a song, "Here's My Heart, Lord"? Can you sing it for us? "Here's My Heart."